This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, originating from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Robin Dow is your producer, and the number to call is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. 19th day of September, 2024. 47 shopping days left between now and November 5th, the election day. And we start our conversation briefly with a gentleman who follows the odds. And bookmakers are actually, they're prognosticating about the presidential election. And these people who are in that kind of line of work, of course, they want to be right. And they generally, I think, they make their assessments from an analytic perspective rather than an emotional perspective. So quite often they're the ones who have the best view of what's happening. I think many times our views are clouded by who we want to win or who we want to lose. But once again, your number is 877-217-5757. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of interest in Las Vegas about the presidential election and in other places. And we're in this world where we can bet online, and there are, in some places, prohibitions against betting on political candidates and elections. But with us to talk about it is a guest from betonline.ag. And right now, according to the latest odds, Kamala Harris has moved in front of one Donald John Trump. And Trump, as we know, has, in the last few years, two election cycles, he has outpolled what was projected on election day. He has done better than odds makers have thought he would do. And once it was a difference between winning and losing, and the last time he lost decisively, but he still did better than the polls indicated. And good morning, sir. And I'm looking through my notes, and we went back and forth with the people at this organization, and I'm not certain who I have, but please identify yourself, and we'll move forward.
Sure thing. My name is Dave Mason from betonline.ag. My Twitter account is at Dave Mason, B-O-L.
All right, Dave. Now, first of all, what about any prohibitions against betting on elections? Is there any sort of law against it in any of the 50 states?
It depends. I mean, we're a global brand. BetOnline is a global brand, so we're not located in the states. So, you know, we're allowed to open up those odds. I always recommend people check with their local, you know, their local.
So you take bets from all over the world then?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I can imagine you might even get a few wagers from Moscow. But
we get Russian action, actually. I mean, we always kind of raises our eyebrows whenever we get some Eastern European action, because it can be kind of annoying to handle, because a lot of syndicates over there and whatnot. So,
well, how's it looking right now, Dave?
Harris is -135, the -135 favorite. That's a small favorite. Whereas Donald Trump, currently +115.
Okay, well, you're throwing out these numbers that, of course, people who bet know all about, but what does -135 actually mean?
Okay, yeah, basically it's about a 55% chance of winning, more or less. I'll explain what 135 means. -135, that means she's a favorite since he has the minus sign of front. That means a bettor would have to risk $135 to profit $100. So you have to risk a little bit more for a lesser profit.
And
on the flip side, Donald Trump is +115. So you would have to risk $100 to profit $115. So you're getting a little bit more back than what you risk. So that's the underdog.
I gotcha. Well, this is a good question from Hal in Monroe. What were the odds of Trump winning before Joe Biden got out of the race?
Oh, wow. He was up there. I mean, he was, after that debate for Biden, Trump went up to, he went as high as -300. So you have to risk $300 to profit $100. That kind of represents about a 75% chance of winning. But then it started coming down once there were more, you know, the rumors were stronger and stronger that that Biden was going to pull out. So once he pulled out, that went down to about minus 160, I believe, Trump. And ever since, it's kind of gone down to about a pick-em even, kind of 50-50 coin flip, and Trump's been a little bit of a favorite. I mean, he was minus 120 favorite before their most recent debate. I think it was, 9 or 10 days ago? And then after the debate, it flipped, and Kamala was the minus 120 favorite, so small favorite.
All right, so in the span of a couple of months, though, Trump's gone from a 75% chance of winning to a 55% chance of losing. So the momentum is not on his side, and we'll see where it goes. And this is a fluid campaign. Things can happen. And the debate probably had something to do with what happened in the switch, as you noted. And at this point, Trump says there will not be another debate, but if he's behind, I suspect he may change his mind. But before we leave you, I know you folks specialize in sports gambling, and a listener says, don't let him get by without commenting on the Saints, who have defied the odds big time. They're now the talk of the NFL. They've been the best team in the league the first 2 weeks of the season. They moved to a favorite at home over Philadelphia. What about the New Orleans Saints, Dave Mason?
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot. Well, I'm a Philly guy, so I'm a little bit nervous, man. I'm actually betting the Saints myself this weekend. They're currently 2.5-point favorites versus visiting Philadelphia Eagles, who struggled, of course, last weekend. Made some boneheaded mistakes. But, man, that offense for the Saints is something else. I don't know how my Eagles are going to be able to stop that offense, to tell you the truth.
What's the line right now, Dave Mason?
Two and a half. The Saints are favored by 2.5. I think that will close 3. So if you like the Saints, bet them at 2.5, because once it lands 3, that's a world of difference, that small half point from 2.5 to 3.
And what's the prevalence now of sports gambling and even gambling on things like elections? I hear that the money now is flowing in that direction more than it is in the stock market. Am I hearing the right news, or is that hyperbole?
I think that's hyperbole. That being said, it's massive. I mean, it's bigger than ever. You know, it's not taboo anymore, right? You know, it used to be in the old days, it was just such a taboo subject, but yet the Europeans could do it, and all these other countries can do it. And now, you know, in the States, you know, you get a bet online, or there's all sorts of other good options. And you know, it's not taboo anymore to place a couple bucks on tonight's game. You don't have to go to some corner bookie in an alley and all that stuff. It's like, we do it. We're sports fans, you know, 20 bucks, whatever. Just stay within your means, you know. Don't bet above your means. Don't bet with money you don't have. Keep it safe. Keep it as a form of entertainment.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. A fun guest from the great city of Philadelphia, where the Phillies right now have the best record in baseball. Dave Mason from, great name too, Dave Mason from betonline.ag. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
And we're joined now by Mike Wolf, the noted libertarian who for more than 50 years has fought for legalization of marijuana in this country. And he had a partner in the legislature back in the day, Tony Garisco, who almost convinced his colleagues, this is in the 70s, to legalize or decriminalize marijuana in Louisiana. And now, in Sunday's New York Times, front page story, it says, 2 years after former President Richard Nixon launched a war on drugs in 1971, calling substance abuse the nation's public enemy number one, he made a startling admission during a meeting in the Oval Office, speaking to a small group of aides and advisors at the White House in March of 73. Nixon said he knew marijuana was not particularly dangerous. He had publicly argued that curbing drug use globally warranted an all-out offensive, but privately expressed unease about the harsh punishment Americans were facing for marijuana crimes. Penalties should be commensurate with the crime, Nixon said. And this is during, I mean, it's on tape. It was during a 30-hour or so meeting and he was calling a 30-year sentence in a case he recently had learned about ridiculous. So, Mike Wolf, it seems you had an ally in the White House, the man you supported for president in the year of 1968 and didn't even know it, Dick Nixon, was pro-pot.
Yeah, well, most famously, Nixon appointed a commission of experts to study the marijuana issue and make a recommendation. That was the famous Schaefer Commission. It was headed by, I think, a former governor of Pennsylvania, Mr. Schaefer, and they recommended decriminalization as the legal regime for handling use of marijuana, which meant that it wouldn't be a criminal offense. It wouldn't, a prosecution would be begun by a summons, not arrest, and there'd be no jail or permanent criminal record allowed for it. That's what was called decriminalization in the 70s, and that began with Oregon in about 72, and of course, and that's what we were trying to get done in Louisiana in the legislature in the late 70s with people like Tony Garisco and Sidney Bartholomew, Johnny Jackson, and of course, we didn't go anywhere. We got about half the votes we needed in the Senate.
All right, let's hold that thought. We'll be back with Mike Wolff, 877-217-5757, your number. This is Jim Inkster, and we're spending a few more minutes with noted attorney Mike Wolff, the libertarian godfather and a man who for 50 years or more has been pushing for legalization of marijuana, and a startling admission in the New York Times pages of Sunday. On tape, Nixon, as in Richard Milhouse Nixon, 37th American president, said punishment didn't fit the crime for pot. His recorded remarks about his unease over a drug that he called not particularly dangerous had eluded scholars until now. And Nixon publicly was saying America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse. But in September of 72, he says, I'm for modification of penalties in many areas, but I don't talk about it anymore. That was in a recorded phone conversation with Charles Colson, who was an aide, and he was responding to then opponent, Democratic nominee George McGovern's position on marijuana legalization. So Dick Nixon was, like many politicians, he was saying one thing publicly and another privately. But Mike Wolff, he could have changed the world. I have on my wall in my office that photo of him and Elvis Presley, who were meeting in the White House. By the way, both Capricorns, Nixon born January 9th, Elvis January 8th. And they were meeting to discuss drug use. And here Elvis was a druggie. And Dick Nixon had his issues. Apparently he was a heavy drinker, according to Henry Kissinger. And there they were. They were going to fight pot with all their might. What about the hypocrisy? All these years later, you're smiling, but does it trouble you or amuse you or a little bit of both?
Well, both, yeah. And old Elvis, he wanted a narcotics badge, apparently. He wanted to be an undercover narc, but which is really unflattering to him. And Nixon, I mean, the story, I read the story, very interesting thing, the Times story. Basically, Nixon said, yeah, marijuana wasn't that dangerous, and the laws shouldn't be so severe, but the young people that favored legalizing marijuana also favored ending the Vietnam War, and so he didn't want to give give any help or encouragement to the people that he was opposed to politically on other issues. So he said, "To hell with the marijuana issue. We want them, you know, give them a hard time," and that's really pretty crummy.
Yeah. We are in a new day, and you go down any street in a busy area in America, and you're gonna have that familiar scent of cannabis floating through the atmosphere, and Baton Rouge is in that number. And Mike, anybody who wants to get it, I understand, can get a medical. It's almost like avoiding the Vietnam War, like Biden and Trump. They can get a medical excuse, can't they?
Well, you were mentioning Tony Garisco. One of the things he did was create a study committee to examine medical use of marijuana. It never did very much and was eventually dissolved for inactivity, but he was one of the first people to point the state in that direction. Now, of course, we've got active medical marijuana throughout the state, and about half of the states have legalized recreational marijuana use, and Florida seems to be about to do it. Trump said finally even he was for it the other day, but you never know where he's going to be.
Medical or recreational?
Recreational.
Recreational, Trump.
Yes, yeah.
Well, John Bell Edwards was against it. He was asked that show. That he got more questions about marijuana than any other issue because people who like pot, you know, they want to do it without fear of going to jail. And I remember the late, great James Gill once wrote in his column that there were 50 people in Louisiana serving life sentences for possession of marijuana. It was their third offense. And so it was like, slam the door and don't come out. But should we have full-fledged, I think I'm preaching to the choir here, legalization of marijuana, or is this something that is not good?
Well, of course, I think we should. Basically, it's an individual decision, like whether you want to eat boudin, fried food or not, that's your decision. Whether you want to drive fast cars, you know, take chances, gamble. It's up to an individual decision. So should the decision whether to smoke tobacco, marijuana, to vape products, use edibles, anything, what you should eat or consume should be up to you.
I'm waiting to see a study about passive smoking regarding marijuana, how it affects people who are not inhaling, who are in the midst of cannabis. And my friend Phil in Jefferson Terrace, who calls here regularly, he's against guns of all kinds, but yet he's in favor of tobacco. And guns do have some good things involved, like defending yourself, killing your prey, eating your food. But I don't know of anything good about cigarettes, Mike. Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
Well,
Phil, we got to ban cigarettes.
Well, eating. A lot of young women used to like to smoke because it helped keep them slender.
It does. You know, that I agree, but I think the hazards outweigh the benefits.
It's a stress reliever, but of course
stress
so
reliever, and people who do it, they say it makes them think better, like me and my coffee. I don't know what I'd do without it, but thank God I don't smoke a cigarette while I'm drinking coffee.
Well, you're relying on that stimulant.
I am. But I hear coffee's
good.
You're
a druggie too. So
I am. I admit it. I'm addicted to caffeine. Some of us are addicted to adrenaline, and I hear marijuana kind of brings you down. Is that right?
Well, yeah, the funny thing about it is that it acts as a stimulant and as a sedative. It has both stimulant and sedative effects, yeah, depending really on the individual. Some people get excited and energized by it. Others get chilled out and relaxed and from it. So it just depends on the individual.
Well, a listener... and I can't pull the story up, but I seem to remember reading this story that Jimmy Carter apparently smoked pot with Willie Nelson in the White House, and Jimmy's about to turn 100.
I never heard that the president did it, but it's well known that when Nelson was in the White House, he went up and smoked on the roof.
And Kennedy supposedly smoked pot, too, with some of his visitors.
Well, but any young, energetic person was usually smoking pot in the since the 70s. It's still true today.
Really?
Of course it is. I mean, if you find any bright, energetic, adventurous young person, you can assume that person's probably will probably drink and will probably smoke marijuana, or especially now with all the alternative products, vaping products, edibles, and so forth. You don't have to
but
smoke
in an,
to consume.
But in an ideal world, wouldn't it be better to be like Mitt Romney, who didn't smoke anything, didn't drink coffee, didn't drink alcohol, and look at him. He's almost 80 years old, and they used to say looks like $1 million. I think now he looks like $1 billion. Mitt Romney, he's a guy who shows what a life of moderation will do for you, Mike.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. It's best if you can avoid any artificial stimulants. A lot of the foods we take have chemicals in them that basically, if the chemicals were separated from the food, they would be drugs, which is any substance that has a physiological effect on the body. So, you know, you can't avoid taking
Richard
things that
Nixon,
affect your body.
A listener notes accurately, and I do remember this, that once he missed an important meeting and Henry Kissinger just came out and said, the president's in the bag. He was a heavy consumer of alcohol, apparently.
Yes.
And as we know, Kennedy took all kinds of amphetamines because he was an ill man with Addison's disease. And so we've had drugs in the White House, and yet people unfairly, I think, have served long sentences. And Nixon, for minor drug offenses, Nixon acknowledged that, but he didn't do much about it, did he?
Right. And then, Carter advanced things a lot further in his administration.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike Wolf, as always. A man who's lived a life of moderation and at 76 years old looks fit as a fiddle. Mike Ballard, another man of moderation, is with us from the Beltway. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, yes, and moderation is my key name.
Mark Moderation Ballard. Well, the House, speaking of a moderate body, The lower chamber on Capitol Hill has rejected Speaker Mike Johnson's plan to fund the government for 6 months, cranking up tensions around a fast-approaching government shutdown deadline, not only through Congress, but also within Republicans' House majority. 14 Republicans joined with Democrats to block Johnson's bill, which combined a six-month extension of federal funds at current spending levels with a measure the House already passed requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote in national elections. We're about to go to a break, but can we get the quick version from you as we head there, Mark?
Okay, he did not have a lot of Republican support over both that immigration part and also the six-month part, the delay of the decision for 6 months. And now we go on to Plan B, which I guess we can discuss after the break. But there are many theories on how this is going to go.
Funding for the government expires September 30th, 11 days from now. And we'll pick it up with Mark, and we'd certainly enjoy hearing from the most enlightened audience in radio at 877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. Mark Ballard, the erudite reporter from the Beltway. He used to troll the halls of the state capitol, and now he's in the nation's capitol. And when he was in the state capitol, one of the backbenchers that he got to know was a fellow named Mike Johnson, who's now running the show. He's the most powerful lawmaker in America as the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, although with a tenuous majority. And a group in his own party that often defies his wishes. And yesterday, a 220 to 202 vote with two voting present made sure that Mike Johnson did not get this bill, which would fund the government, but also require proof of citizenship when voting. And Mike Johnson, as Mark Ballard said, now goes to Plan B, but some of the stories say there really is no Plan B. What is going on, Mark?
There is some talk, at least amongst the leadership team, that they needed to run this because basically Donald Trump had been lobbying Republican representatives to pass what's called a continuing resolution to keep government funded after October 1st and avoid a shutdown, but to pass that continuing resolution only if it included the citizenship portions of the bill that you basically would have to prove citizenship to register to vote. And a lot of Republicans don't want to do that. And basically what happened by running that vote yesterday, Mike Johnson, according to some, though not he, saying that he basically, did the vote that Trump wanted and now is free to negotiate with Democrats who would not approve a CR with that amount. At the same time, you have Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the Senate, saying that the Senate's going to be starting on the procedures to do their own continuing resolution, one that's 3 months rather than six, which is what Mike Johnson is looking for. Well, so that's kind of what we're looking at.
Front page today, Mark has a story, and I saved this one for now because I know this one is one that is fraught with emotion, and we do ask you to be civil if you have an opinion, but yesterday, our junior U.S. senator was really not civil. Mark puts it this way: at a Senate hearing on hate crimes, U.S. Senator John Kennedy repeatedly suggested the head of a Muslim civil rights group supports terrorism and, despite her repeated denials, told her to hide her head in a bag. The lady we're talking about is Maya Berry, executive director of the Arab American Institute, a nonpartisan civil rights group with about 3.7 million Arab Americans. And by the way, when we include Arab Americans, we're talking about Garrett Graves, we're talking about Charles Bustani, we're talking about a lot of people, Susie Hike Terrell. Many of these people they have origins in that part of the world. They're from Lebanon. Richard Ayoub, go down the list. There are several who've been big, big stars in Louisiana politics. But John Kennedy, basically because this woman is an Arab American, sounded like this yesterday, and here is our junior senator, 72, soon to be 73-year-old John Neely Kennedy.
You support Hamas, do you not?
Senator, oddly enough, I'm going to say thank you for that question because it demonstrates the purpose of our hearing today in a very effective way.
Let's start first with a yes or no.
Hamas is a foreign terrorist organization that I do not support, but you asking the executive director of the Arab American Institute that question very much puts the focus on the issue of hate in our country.
Well, I got your answer, and I appreciate it.
I think it's exceptionally disappointing that you're looking at an Arab American witness before you and saying you support Hamas.
You know what's disappointing to me?
I do not support Hamas.
You can't bring yourself
to say support Hamas.
You don't support UNRWA. You don't support Hamas. You don't.
I was very clear in my support for UNRWA.
Hezbollah, and you don't support Iran. You should hide your head in a bag.
Mark Ballard, what do you think?
Well, I think that it's really a lot of people, particularly in the Arab American community, but also outside of it, think that it was a bridge too far. He's basically saying that, if you're German, you must support the Nazis, or at least you have to tell everybody that you don't support the Nazis. And so that's that is what the problem is that they on here. This is why some of those groups are looking at trying to get Kennedy censured for this sort of questioning, accusatory questioning that basically smears a person's name because there's no way that she can.
Well, John Kennedy.
There is no evidence. There was no evidence.
John Kennedy, who I've always had a cordial relationship with, and has been on this show many times, albeit not recently. 20 years ago, was supporting fervently John Kerry for president of the United States in a race against George Bush. And he has had an epiphany. He is an older man now. He is not a strong man physically, but he likes to talk tough. Here's a guy who certainly can't bench press his weight or even two-thirds of his weight, but struts around like a tough guy. And when you put that chin out on the block like he's doing, it's going to be some pushback, and we'll see what happens. This could be a one-day story, or it could be something that could haunt the senator for years to come, but he definitely appeals at times, and he's a brilliant man, but he appeals to the lowest common denominator. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, Mr. Ballard, so far, is there any move to provide Senator Cornpone with paper or even plastic bags to cover the heads of the non-MAGAs in Washington?
Well, you responded with a cheap shot, Dan. Shame on you. And that's just what I'm talking about, is that when you go around spouting things like Senator Kennedy, you're going to get a response. It goes with the territory. And Dan, who's also a brilliant lawyer in his own right, he certainly has not liked what the senator said. Is Dan just a little fly in the ointment that Senator Kennedy can discard, or does he have a point that needs to be considered about the senator, as you say, going too far?
Well, said in the article yesterday that basically Kennedy is going to get no blowback in Louisiana for this, despite that, and the politicians that you mentioned, which would include Garrett Graves, by the way, call themselves Lebanese Americans, though the Census Bureau would put them in as Arab Americans as well. But I don't think there's going to be a blowback on this. I don't think that unless the Senate picks it up and censors, and I don't think that's likely these days, there will not be a blowback. I mean, he'll say what he has to say, and then next week he'll say something else that'll attract
attention. All right. Please be brief and please be civil. Jim in Walker. Jim, good morning. You're on with Mark.
Good morning. And, at least David Duke had the common courtesy to wear his hood and his sheet in public. And, Foghorn Leghorn needs to just kind of fess up.
All right. Well, Kennedy has had an epiphany. Now, I don't know why he's had it. It's his political consultant, his former political consultant, Roy Fletcher, said it's because he learned to read a poll. And you say that he may not be hurt by this in Louisiana. He may actually be helped by it in Louisiana, unfortunately, Mark, with these kinds of statements.
Well, judging by the emails that I received this morning, which, you know, accused me of wanting to kill Jews because I wrote that story, I think that Roy Fletcher is absolutely correct. I mean, you know, he reads a poll, he sees what's popular in Louisiana. He's wanting to be a celebrity among the far right, you know, be on Fox News and One American Nation television networks. And that's the kind of thing that you got to say if you're going to be a celebrity on the far right these days.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Mr. Ballard, the House Oversight Committee, chaired by James Comer, did a lot of time, money, and expenses investigating President Biden receiving money from China. However, why haven't they investigated Trump evidently receiving $10 million in cash that he absconded with from Egypt?
All right. That was a story that was broken by the Washington Post. What do you think? There's so much regarding Donald Trump it's hard to keep track of, and some of it, of course, has been debunked, but most of it has been proved to be true. What about this story, Mark?
This story, I mean, has not been debunked or even refuted. But, to answer the question is that, let me think, there's Republican politics during an election year. This is never going to come up. But this is why Comer's not doing this. There's politics mm-hmm. going on up here. I'm shocked.
Well, a listener says John Kennedy will turn 73 in November. That means in 4 years he'll be 77. And he'll either be running in a time for re-election against Kamala Harris and the Democrats, or he will be running with a new leader of the Republican Party. No matter what, Trump can only serve one term even if he wins. But the listener poses a good question. Kennedy at 77 will be right in his prime to run for president of the United States. We could have another John Kennedy moving from the Senate to the White House, Mark.
Well, we could, yeah. And LSU could win the national championship this year.
James in Metairie. James, you're on with Mark. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim and Mark. You know, Jim, I'm surprised Senator Kennedy didn't accuse that woman of drinking weed killer or gas station sushi. Now,
and he also said
he does prove that up.
He said Nancy Pelosi drank Tide Pods. Tide Pods.
There you go. He's right on. He's what a great pride of Louisiana. Now, question about government in action. In March of 2023, Congress they passed a bill requiring the creation of a plaque listing the names of Capitol police officers who were served in January 6th to put on the western front of the Capitol. That's over a year.
All right. If you'll hold on, James, we'll pick up with you after the break and continue with Mark Ballard. Your number, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana. Pleased to have you with us. 47 days before the election. No U.S. Senate races in Louisiana, but the Senate is up for grabs. Right now, it appears if the election were today, the Republicans would regain the Senate, and the Democrats would retain the White House. Now, John Kennedy, of course, would like to see Donald John Trump return to power, and our junior senator, who was born in Centerville, Mississippi, educated in Zachary, Louisiana, then went off to Louisiana Tech, rarely talks about the fact that he went to Tech for a couple of years, and his former aide, Jason Redmond, says that his roommate was Jim McCreary, who later served in the U.S. House of Representatives for many years, 22 years, I believe. But from Tech, he went off to Virginia Law School, and prior to that, he was educated at Vanderbilt, where he received his degree, and then he paid his way to Oxford. He was not a Rhodes Scholar, but he got an advanced degree from a great university across the pond. So very bright fellow, but a listener, before we go back to James and Metairie, and we get Mark to respond a bit more, who wrote the story in The Advocate, said, this is Holly in the garden. She said, totally shocked by this. Could not believe it. Well, listen to it with your own ears one more time. Here's an encore from John Neely Kennedy.
Hamas, do you not?
I
Senator, oddly enough, I'm going to say thank you for that question because it demonstrates the purpose of our hearing today in a very effective way.
Let's start first
way.
With a yes or no.
Hamas is a foreign terrorist organization that I do not support, but you asking the executive director of the Arab American Institute that question very much puts the focus on the issue of hate in our country.
Well, I got your answer, and I appreciate it.
I think it's exceptionally disappointing that you're looking at an Arab American witness before you and saying you support Hamas.
You know what's disappointing to me?
I do not support Hamas.
You can't bring yourself
I do
to
not
say
support Hamas
you don't
or
support
any...
UNRWA. You don't support Hamas. You don't
I was very clear in my support for UNRWA.
Hezbollah, and you don't
I
support
oppose...
Iran. You should hide your head in a bag.
All right. James and Metairie, will you continue with your interrogation of Mark Ballard?
Well, you know, what a waste of an Oxford education. What an embarrassment. Now, I have another question about the plaque, if Mark could answer that. What is the status of that plaque that they've already appropriated for? The other question is, back in earlier in the year, I think in May, the Biden administration submitted proposals to reschedule marijuana from Schedule 1, I think, down to Schedule 3. Mark, what's the status of that?
All right. What about marijuana and the plaque honoring those who were victimized,
the
officers?
The plaque is still up in the air. It's said by the House leadership that it's not quite ready yet, and, you know, we'll get to it. But there's a lot of questions as to whether that's actually going to happen, as to whether he's going to get to it or not. You know, depending, you know, if Donald Trump wins, there's a good possibility that it will not be gotten to anytime soon, and if Kamala Harris wins, then it probably will be quickly erected. That's kind of the where we stand on that. So,
well, and the marijuana question.
The marijuana question is that he's put that out, but the FDA has to approve it as well. Mm-hmm. So that is an issue. The in. Basically, that an issue that they are that requires the federal government to say one way or another on this.
Well, considering that Senator Kennedy is a smoker, maybe he'll be with Joe Biden and wanting to reduce penalties for marijuana. Mark Ballard, with us for a few more minutes. 877-217-5757. Chris in Opelousas. Chris, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, Jim and Mark. I'm just curious. I wonder if maybe somebody has some proof or something like that, but possibly old John Kennedy uses or brings his own supply of KY.
All right. No. Let's not go there. But this is just it. When you say things as outrageous as Senator Kennedy did in a committee hearing, you're going to get a response that's not pleasant, and we don't want it to happen on this show. But Mark, the senator, he's been doing this, and he gets on Fox News, and my dear friend Neil Gladner, who now lives in Arkansas, but he was with us for a while, he said the most dangerous place in America is to be between John Kennedy and a television camera.
That is very true, particularly a television camera that has a national audience attached to it, and a national conservative audience that is attached to it. What we keep forgetting is that this is just one incident out of many. I mean, remember that John Kennedy was the one that read graphic novels during a committee hearing. You know, he has said some pretty outrageous things both on television and during the hearings. And also, it's important to note is that while what Kennedy said was the most outrageous of the Republicans, all to a person, attacked the Arab American leader of the Arab American Institute. I mean, it was widespread.
Right.
Well, Kennedy was the one that was the most outrageous.
Tom on Bluebonnet says Senator Kennedy has endorsed Donald Trump. Correct? Will he endorse Bill Cassidy for re-election?
Yeah, now, I don't know.
Well, you would think he would.
Bill Cassidy, you would think he would too. Yes, but I don't know because the question is that, you know, will Jeff Landry back
Bill Cassidy.
I think he will, because Cassidy backed him. And Landry, he keeps score on those things I hear. I think he will back Bill Cassidy. I do. And it might help him, because it looks like it could be a race between Cassidy and Garrett Graves, who, as we know, Jeff Landry does not like.
Well, I mean, if that's it, but it also could be a race between Bill Cassidy and Clay Higgins.
Could be, but I don't think Higgins is going to give up a sure house seat, and he's got that for life. They love him in Acadiana. Now, I know some people don't like him, but most of the people who are voting, they like him. Let's go to a couple of callers. Robin says, please be brief. Steve in Baton Rouge. Good morning, Steve.
Hello, Jim. How you doing, Mark? Mark and Jim, I wonder why Kennedy don't do more for Louisiana and help Cassidy rather than criticize and women. He said bad stuff about Nancy Pelosi. He always say ridiculous stuff he's providing for Louisiana.
Well, he does have a habit of pounding away at women. As I said, he's not a physically imposing man at all. I doubt that he would say this to the face of somebody who could take care of business, Mark.
I don't know. He's 6'3", you know.
Well, he's not 6'3". He may, like Trump, he may say he's 6'3", but he's about 6'1", but he's soft.
Well, and he's also, you know, elderly as well.
Well, so are we. So are we, and we can take care of business.
I don't want to test that too far. But basically, that Kennedy has a strategy, as does Bill Cassidy. And Bill Cassidy's strategy is to try to, you know, be the work across the statesman who works across lines to get things done. And Kennedy's strategy apparently is to, you know, basically rum up the far right and have them energized and supportive of him. And so far, both of those strategies seem to be working.
Patrick in Oswalda States. Good morning, my friend, Patrick. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
So my middle name is Omar. I have Arabic blood in me, ancestry. I had no problem with what Kennedy said, because a lot of these so-called Arab
All right, we're short on time, but he was attacking a person without provocation, and also stating misleading things about what she supported, and then said she should put her head in a bag. So Patrick, I love you, but I think you've gone too far on this one. I think, as did the senator. And Mark, we'll see how this plays, but I doubt that Senator Kennedy will suffer any real consequences.
I don't think that's what most of the political operatives are saying, is that, you know, this might actually help him out in Louisiana, and that's the only people who vote for him. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure. And in studio, in the home stretch, heading for the finish line, is Gwen Pelagi from the Baton Rouge Gallery, and it's Movies and Music on the Lawn time. What in the heck's going to happen at the Crown Jewel of City Park?
Hi, Jim. So we are kicking off our next season of Movies and Music on the Lawn this Saturday evening. We have the Michael Foster Project playing live to the silent film called Safety Last, which features Harold Lloyd, who is he was a well-known silent film actor of the time. It's a comedy, lots of fun. It is free and open to everybody. You can just bring your lawn chairs. And
this is Saturday night?
This is Saturday night.
After the UCLA game, right? At Tiger Stadium.
We start at dark, so whenever the sun fully sets, we will.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Perfect,
right
after the game. You can come to City Park. You might even park there, walk to the stadium, get some exercise, come back, and relax, and it's Movies and Music on the Lawn.
Yeah, it's a really fun series that pairs classic silent cinema with a contemporary Louisiana band, and the band scores the film. They create an original score, which they perform, they debut live in front of our audience on that evening. So live music, classic cinema on a great big giant blow-up screen on our back lawn. It's a lovely night under the stars in City Park.
Well, and this is something you're going to continue.
Yeah, so this kicks off our latest season. We will return again at the end of October with a double feature of The House of Usher. Sorry, not a double feature, but pairing The House of Usher with a band called Worms. That's kind of a fun hard rock, heavy metal kind of band.
Worms.
They're gonna
at City Park.
Yeah, so
good Worms.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We get a lot of folks who come out who really love the program.
free of charge?
It is. That's right. Yeah. Thanks to community partnerships, we've been able to remove the ticket fee. And yeah, so we hope to see you
Saturday at sundown. Movies and music on the lawn, City Park. Thanks for listening today. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.